was just looking at like old stuff online, and you've been everywhere.
Not everywhere, but a lot of places, I guess.
That's so cool, though. I took my younger daughter on an impromptu trip to like a theme park one day in like June, I think it was. And then on the way home, I found out that you were like an hour south of me
Where were you?
that day. I was in Indiana. I don't even remember where exactly we were, but we were gonna go to a water park in Springfield, but it had stormed, so they closed the water park. So we were just like, okay, I guess we're gonna drive like 3 or 4 hours to Indiana because we promised her we were gonna go. And on the way home, I saw that and I was like, oh my God, we were so close.
That
I thought that
would have
was so
been nice.
weird.
I had a friend of mine who like he was on the road trip at the same time, so we were driving like north of him, but we were driving like the same, both driving out west, but we were like 4 hours apart, like north and south, and it just like didn't make sense to kind of meet each other, but it was fun. And we ended up meeting him in Utah anyway, but it was funny. But I wish that, yeah, I think we were in Indiana driving home, or I don't remember, but at some point we were there. Your
Yeah,
hair looks so
that's
pretty,
so
by the
funny.
way. It looks beautiful, like
Thank
really long.
you. I cut it myself like 2 weeks ago.
Well, you like it looks layered, it looks so nice.
I did, it's called a double unicorn cut, where you put a pony here and then you put a pony here and you cut them.
So it layers
I was really nervous.
all
Yeah.
over. Yeah, that sounds scary, but it worked out clearly.
It was very scary. Yeah.
Yeah, hair is soft because it will
Oh,
grow back,
man.
but like you don't know.
Yeah.
So sorry, I'm in the
So
car. I
you.
didn't know I would
No,
be
it's
here right
okay.
now, but.
It's okay. I appreciate that you made time while in the car. Are you guys on a long car ride? You got a lot of time?
We got like an hour and 20 minutes, I'd say. All
That's
right.
perfect. It's perfect for
Nice.
me. Is
He
Ben
is.
driving?
Thank you, Ben.
Tell him I said hi.
Jamie says hi. He said hi.
Gosh, there's like so many different topics I always want to pull you in to talk about, but like we keep never getting to them. Like we were going to talk about mirror work that one time, didn't even bring it up at
Oh
all
my God.
the whole time.
That's funny.
But I really want to hear about your ayahuasca journey because I think it's really incredible that you got to go do that. Like I remember you talking about planning it. But I thought that you'd planned it for like a couple years from now. I didn't realize that you planned it for this summer. So I want to hear everything about that.
Well, I first read about ayahuasca when I was 19, and I'm 30 now, so it's like about time I finally met her. I was like, it never, I like, it's always when it's supposed to happen. And I think, like, if I had met her then, I wouldn't have known what to do with the information that I received. And I feel like I'm just in a better place in my life where like I can take responsibility and like really take the information that was given to me and do something with it. So, and it's strange because when you do ayahuasca, they tell you like don't go home and share your experience, just be the change, just live your life and show people, like, show people, because you can't you know, everyone has their own experience on ayahuasca and sees what they need to see. And to come home and be like, I saw like a snake wrap around me and squeeze like my shit out of me. Like people are like, that sounds terrifying, when really it's like, it's the most beautiful. It's, yeah, you can't explain it. You can't explain it except for what she's given you. Because every, and because that is the thing, is that everyone has their own experience and what they need to heal and work through and work on. And so I could talk about it if you want, or if you have specific questions.
Well, you don't have to talk about like the actual experience, because I do feel like it's a really personal thing. But I do feel like, from what I've heard, because like I have done some research on it, I have heard some interviews, but it's always about like the experience or how you feel after. But I think maybe to help make anyone feel more comfortable that might be thinking about the experience themselves, what if we talked about the like technical and like physical, practical things around, like, do you just Google ayahuasca? You know what I mean? Like, what were the ins and outs there, so that anyone that is listening, that is thinking like, oh, maybe someday, like they'll have a more practical thought in their head of how to get to that point. Does that make sense?
I think you have to listen to your gut, and if your gut is saying, this is not the person to do it with, or this is not the place to go to, I think that's really important. Because I think part of why it took me 11 years to go is because if you choose to go to Peru, which I highly recommend to do, because that's where the medicine is from, and those people have been working with it for, we don't even know, you know, for so, I don't know, thousands of years, I don't know. But so, you know, there's a lot of people who talk about like, oh, like this, I went to this retreat and like they don't have good experiences. And I think that I went with, there's a place in New York called The Sanctuary, and it's a healing, it's on Lakota land, and it's a place where there's like lots of healing ceremonies and things like that. But the owner of the sanctuary, Angel Deer, I met him because I went to a retreat there, and I felt very safe with him. And I was like, and I found out he was hosting the Peru retreat, and I was like, well, I had a very good experience with him and his wife, and the retreats they hold, they're beautiful people. They're on a path that I feel is like a right way. So I was like, okay, they're going to Peru to do ayahuasca. I'm going. And I could not recommend the people we worked with enough. Like all of the medicine people were, there was no one there to tell you like your experience is wrong, or your experience is like, or telling you how to heal, or telling you anything. They just held space, because ultimately you are the only person. It's you and ayahuasca, it's you and Wachuma, and no one else can tell you like about your experience and what you need to work through, and like what you need to, what you should feel, you know. There's no wrong. So I really loved them in that way, that I was able to have my own experience without someone else infiltrating my and trying to take it away from me, if that makes sense. Like, I think a lot in the healing world, like we see someone crying or we see someone really going through this deep experience and we feel the need to help them, right? And like it, but it literally takes them away from their own heal, like they are healing themselves. Like we need to, no one can do it for me. I have to go through everything that I went through. And her, that trip with Angel and all of the medicine people that he specifically works with, I don't think like I would have done it with anyone. Like I can't recommend it enough. So I guess for other people looking, I would suggest him because they do two Peru retreats, but two, yeah, two ayahuasca retreats twice a year. But other than that, like you have to go with your gut. If it feels like the right place and the right people, then that's where you should go. And yeah, we all need different healing, some, you know, like yeah, like our medicine woman for ayahuasca, yeah, she was a woman. And it was not like what you see on like certain documentary, like she was not traditional in that sense, but she's like the sixth generation ayahuasca. I don't even think shaman's the right word, but I don't remember the term. But yeah, she's like sixth generation. Her family's been doing this for hundreds of years, and she saying like every all the Icaros were like from a place of love. And I think that in especially in the psychedelic world, like because I work with psilocybin a lot, like it feels like there's two paths you can go, like one that's very heart opening and one that's a little darker, which they're both healing, they're both beneficial. But like in my own experience, like when I work with mushrooms, when I work with, and then working with these medicine, the medicine people in Peru, they all were based on coming from the heart. And it was like the whatever dark is, I feel held the whole time. Like you still go through things that are scary because they're the things we don't want to look at, but it's wrapped in a coating of love, so you feel a lot safer than like some of the traditional people that I've seen like on documentaries where it's like a lot of drumming or a lot of like I or like because like to become a medicine woman who work or a medicine person who works with ayahuasca, she was in the jungle for a year and by herself, and every night they come and they bring her a cup of ayahuasca, and she sits with the medicine at night in the dark in the jungle for a year. She does that, and that's how you are initiated to be able to serve.
Wow.
So, like, it's not a joke. Like, it you have to go to those really, you have to go in the darkness, like, you have to, but. Her medicine is all, it's, you're in the dark, right? Like in ceremony, we're in pitch black. There's no light. But her song and the way she guides you is all loving. So even when you're facing the dark, it isn't scary. So personally, that's why I liked all of the medicine people we worked with, because you felt their intention. You felt, and they let the medicine work through them. They're not sitting there. Like I'm above the medicine. They sit behind the medicine and they let the medicine guide you, but they are kind of just the vessel for the medicine to work through, if that makes sense. So I really could not recommend working with them, Angel and his Peru retreats. They were just beautiful people. And I've never felt like such deep healing, and yeah, it's cool.
That's amazing. How long were you in Peru?
We were in the retreat for 8 days, I think, but I was in Peru for 2 weeks. I stayed a little bit before and a little bit after. And I think in the future he's going to do a 10-day retreat, which sounds nice because every day was a different medicine, a different plant medicine. So I only met ayahuasca Saturday and Sunday. We did two ceremonies, and then that was it. And then Monday we did like a different medicine. Tuesday we did Wachuma, which
Okay.
is another just like beautiful, like such a beautiful medicine. So we did Wachuma twice. We met with Kambo, which is a very different medicine. Hapé. Yeah, so it was like really all of them. I feel like because a lot of retreats that people go on for ayahuasca, it's strictly ayahuasca, which, yeah, I feel like I could sit with her so many times. And Angel has, like, he's probably done ayahuasca, like, he says, like, hundreds of times. And each time, like, you learn something new. But I think with the combination of Wachuma, which is also called San Pedro, it's a heart opener medicine. And it really, just the combination of all of them and your intention, you really come out at the end of the week with like so many tools and so much to integrate into your life. Like, I don't know the next time I'll even need to go because there's just so much that was given to me that I'm like, okay, like I know what to do. And the work is now, like the hard part is now, like doing the work that I've been presented, right? But like they gave all the medicines gave me like love, like myself. They gave me back to myself and like what I need and what's important and like what's going on. Like they're very like clear about, well, I don't know if that's everyone's experience, but it's like for me, they were like very clear on, they just give you a lot of information and to work with, and it's beautiful. And so yeah, I liked the combination of all of them. I feel like if I just did ayahuasca, I would have had a very different experience, but the combination of all of them really gave me a, like, yeah, I think I already said it, but it just felt like they all work well together to make you feel complete and not so like, what do I do? Like, yeah, I don't know.
Wow. So you didn't just go do ayahuasca. You did, it sounds like a whole like journey, like a whole spectrum of
Yeah.
journeys in
Yeah.
one trip. What is, I've never heard of, you said
What you want?
Wachuma? What is that? I've never heard of that.
It's a cactus. And it grows really tall. I think it can get up to like, gosh, I don't want to get it wrong, but it can get really tall. Like we saw some of them that were like 20 feet tall. They get really tall. So it's a cactus that's similar to psilocybin in the sense that like you have a psychedelic experience, but you don't see visuals. It's not visual. They call it a heart opener. So and it's a grandfather. They call him a grandfather. So it's like ayahuasca they call a grandmother. So their love, right? Like imagine like your grandmother, right? They love you and they know you, like no, like they saw you grow up, like they know everything about you and they love you so much, but they're like ayahuasca anyway is like a little stern. Like if you're not, like she'll tell you when you're messing up, you know? And like if you try to ignore her, She's gonna make it a little scary, but if you like listen to her, then it's not so bad. So with Chuma, felt very different. And the way that we met with Chuma, I'm gonna cry thinking about it. Was and this is another reason why I would recommend. So Miguel was our, he guided us through Chuma. So everything's very ceremonious, and there's so much respect for the plants and for the earth and for each other, for like they talk about relations, like, and it's not just human relations, it's our relationship with everything. Like, what is your relationship with anything? Like, how do you, so like, just watching this man and how like ca he cared so much, like, everything was like so. He was with everything he did when he was like setting up the ceremony, and you were just like, I've never seen like anyone just care so much about everything they did. Like, and he was so intentional, and it was really beautiful. But so you drink what you, they take the cactus, I guess they like grind it down. It doesn't taste very good. None of the medicines really taste like, I wouldn't be like, yeah, give me a cup of Wachuma. That sounds great. Like it was rough. So you go with like an empty stomach because it's similar to psilocybin in the sense that you get a little nauseous. And I think like one person purged, but like purging is encouraged, like because our bodies hold so much. So like purging is looked at as a good thing. Like you're releasing like shit. Like you are releasing stuff that is not moving in your body and it's poison. So when you purge, you're literally you're like, okay, that's gone now. That no longer serves me. It's gone. So you drink the Wachuma, and we were in the Andes Mountains, and I've never seen like such a untouched, just precious, beautiful land. And so we did this hike around this lake, the first time we met with Chuma. And I guess the way to describe it is like it just takes your ego completely out. You are not you. You don't see separateness. And again, like Wachuma will give you whatever experience you need. And it gave me, you know, I think a lot of us felt the earth at one point and had a really, we're presented with like how we're connected. And you don't talk to anyone. So on this hike, they call it noble silence. So you, if someone stopped or if someone was crying, like you keep going, you're on your own journey. And it kind of symbolizes life, like that, and like your strength. And it's sometimes you fall, and sometimes it's really hard, and sometimes you want to give up, and sometimes the hike is really beautiful, and sometimes like you're running around like a little kid and you're playing, and then sometimes you're alone. And then sometimes you're with people and you're so happy. And so it just brought, it connected you to love. That's all it was it's a huge connector to love. And in a way that I don't think we're used to in at least this country. Like no one to, there no French. I couldn't even see myself. Like I was gone. It was like there's not Samantha. That we're all. I don't know. And I don't. Yeah, I don't want to get too into that because yeah, it can sound confusing. But I guess the best way to describe it is like a grandfather just like holding your hand and like showing, like teaching you and loving you and showing you what it is to be a human and the responsibility that there isn't being a human, but the beauty and the love that is possible that only you have really, and that everything else has. And he teaches about reciprocity, that like everything you do like comes back to you, everything, and that giving is the most beautiful thing we can do, because that's what the earth does. She gives. Even when she's suffering, she gives. She doesn't stop. Even when she's crying because she's being hurt, she keeps giving. So he just shows love in like so many different ways. So that's what Chuma is. Very beautiful. It's pro like probably my favorite medicine. Like, I work with psilocybin. Like, I know that's my calling, and he made that very clear. Like, he was like, go home. Like, I found psilocybin on the hike. Like, it was like, and he kept like they tell you stuff, but like, so he was like, yeah, you gotta work with mushrooms. And I was like, okay, I know. But like, I met with Chuma, and I was like, I would work with this medicine. Like, it's just, it connects us to what we've forgotten. Like, if we forgot that there's love in everything, and that the connection, or like the importance of each other, right? How much I need you. I need you. Like, I'm nothing without you. When we forget things like that, when we forget how to love, I think that's the beautiful thing, bring us back to that.
That's so beautiful.
Yeah, I hope I'm not. I'm getting. Haven't talked about them in like
It's
a very
okay.
long time, so I'm a little excited.
That's okay. I'm glad that you're excited. I want to hear
Oh.
about it.
Yeah, it's tough. It's like, how do you separate like your own, because like that's the thing too, is like, how do you separate your own individual experience from like, okay, well, what is the collective, right? Like, what is helpful for the collective? Because it's not like what I learned, I just have to do what they told me, but it doesn't help me to be like, they said this and they said that, and you should do this. You know what I mean? Like, so it's, yeah, that's my challenge. But I'm sorry to interrupt. What were you
No,
gonna
you're
say?
fine. You're fine. So this was how long ago was this? I remember it was sometime in the spring, early summer. How long has it been since you've been back?
I went in May.
Okay.
So, yeah, it's almost 3 months.
Almost 3
Yeah.
months. Does
Yeah.
everything, is everything different now? Like everything looks different? Everything feels different since you got back?
The first, I, first of all, I didn't even want to leave. And the first coming back was really difficult, because at least in the Sacred Valley, which is where we were, they live very differently, and the people are very different, and they're very connected. And so, yeah, we were in like paradise, you know. And then I came back, and you know, I'm at Newark Airport, and I'm trying to find good food, and everything tastes off, because we were eating like fresh picked fruit, you know, like it was, and people weren't kind, and it was like, I felt I very easily could have sucked, and I did a little bit suck back into like before I went, like I'm just like, yep, people are miserable in New Jersey, I guess I'm just miserable, you know, like. And that's the struggle, is like, you know, all the medicine showed me how to love, and how to, and the best, they showed me a potential of what we can be like. And so then I came back here, and I experienced it for myself, like a reality that I have not experienced here. So when I came back, it was so like, I was just sad. And I But then, like, that's the work is like, well, I know it's possible, and it starts with me. And who do I want to be, and how do I want to live? And, we learned a lot about ceremony. That was like a huge gift to me because now life is a ceremony every moment. So, like, and so, like, with each other, right? Like, we were just like right here. You were not anywhere else. It's like, how do I do that always?
I think that that can be the most difficult thing, though, is, we're all trying to like grow and be more in touch with ourselves. And then, like, then you have to go outside and be around people, that aren't full of love and light for sure, and you have to try to stay grounded and take deep breaths and, handle that with purpose. And being able to do that, I think, is probably the biggest accomplishment that you can have, to because the negative energy and the like toxicity and the like always down on yourself attitude, it's infectious and it spreads so easily, and it's a constant work to try not to be like that, especially when in like stressful situations, like you coming back from paradise and then showing up back in New York, like that, it's almost like flipping a switch. And it's like you could have absolutely 100% just like let go of the entire experience and just went back to how things were. What did anyone say about how you were when you got back? Like that you were different or seemed different, anything like that?
My partner Ben picked me up from the airport. And the first thing, yeah, he was like, "You're glowing." He was like, "I've never even, I you look younger." Like, and yeah, like the first week was actually like, in terms of like not being triggered, and because all the medicines gave me tools, like they showed me what to do in any situation. Which was like, and but when you're on the medicine, it's easy to do that. You're like, oh yeah, okay, because they're helping you. So like when I first got home, and then I'm with my partner, and he's doing something that normally triggers me, I literally like just self-regulated in a way I've never been able to do, and like just was like, oh, I don't even need to take care of him. Actually, if I just take care of myself, he'll take care of himself. And like that's what happened. And it was like, wow, that's crazy. And like so the first week it was beautiful. Like he was like, wow, like if it was like this all the time, like we would just flow through shit. Like nothing would even stick. And like, they say like healing isn't linear. So like sometimes even net, right? So it's 3 months later. And if I look at where I am right now, it's like I'm definitely doing it more than I ever have in my whole life. But sometimes I mess up. Like this, like me and my mother's relationship is the hardest relationship I have, probably. And ayahuasca showed me how to love her. Like she showed me what to do when my mom's doing the thing that hurts me the most. She said, oh, love her. If you just love them, the pain will transform. And that's easier said than done because obviously the thing that they're doing is triggering, right? Like my mom is screaming at me. It's the most triggering thing in the world. But like the medicine, but it gave me this tool, right? So it was like a combination of things. It's harsh. It was harsh. But it was very beautiful, and it gave you like other different tools. And it's like when you feel that, like they all centered around the breath. They were like, the breath is the greatest tool that you have. If you are conscious of your breath, you're good. Like, you can do the things that are really hard to do. And I was like, yeah, I'm doing it right now. Like, this is great. This is easy. And that's the thing that's hard to do. Like, now it's like to be conscious of your breath all the time, right? Because we live in a society that doesn't allow you to be slow, that needs you to be fast. Because you, if you have time to stop and think about what you're doing, you would like not do most of the things that we're doing. So it depends on you just reacting constantly. So, and that, so it's like really taking that responsibility of like, okay, like if I want to be the best person for myself, but also for everyone else, I have to breathe. I have to. So like a meditation practice has become very important. And like, so when I first came back, it was very easy. Like my mom would scream and I'd literally just go and talk like a baby to her. And I'd be like, what's wrong, mama? And then she'd like,
So you had said, your mom gets mad and then you talk to her like you're a baby, and then it kind of started slowly scrambling.
So like, and then you talk to her like a baby. That's a normal sentence.
It's
That's a normal thing
all I got.
to They love. And that's a really, but we all are, right? We live in this society that's like, love is not really allowed.
Try to wrap things up. I'm sorry about like that's so frustrating that
That's okay.
technology is not nice sometimes. Okay.
It's
So
trying to give me a hint to stop talking about baby voice.
it does
It's like, yeah, shut up about the baby voice.
we don't want to talk about that.
I'm getting to the love stuff, so that's not allowed.
Yeah, right. It is frustratingly difficult to remember to just keep producing more love. You know, like it's so freaking hard. And especially it's always so interesting when I talk to you because when you talk about your parents, I don't talk to my mom and like her family. So like anytime you talk about your parents, I always am like from a parental point of view for myself because like I have kids. And it sort of makes me see like both sides of it and understand both sides of it so much, being a child that went through trauma and being now a parent and hearing about you and your journey, because it's hard some days not to yell. It is, and you don't want to, and you don't want to be that person, but it's like there's so many restrictions that society has like put on us that make it so hard to just keep producing more love. So that was my conversation with Sam, everyone. I know I said I wasn't going to do intros and outros, and I'm not really. I just am here to say I hope you enjoyed our conversation and to remind you, don't forget, do something that scares you. Even if it's baking a loaf of bread, you don't have to go on an ayahuasca retreat. But if you have the opportunity and you feel inclined, maybe you should do it. I'll talk to you again soon.